Tonight I'm here to talk to you about coping with pressure. You know, pressure. We live it in our lives. And in fact, about 2 hours ago, I was under a severe amount of pressure. Because I watched football, and my team is Manchester United, and they were 2-0 down at half-time. And that was somewhat a lot of pressure for me. But thankfully, they redeemed themselves. They won 3-2, and the pressure was then lifted. So even in our daily lives, we face pressure, even with funny things like this. But we all face pressure, okay? We have, like, exam pressure, you know, oh my goodness, I've got exams to do, I'm really stressed right now. Or, you know, I've got peer pressure, like, oh my goodness, they're doing this thing, and, like, should I be doing that? I'm not really sure. What people think of me pressure, like, you know, will they like this jumper? Do you think it's very green? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure. What is my future pressure? Oh my goodness. Am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to meet someone? Is my hair going to fall out? Oh my goodness. Or, and for me, actually that is a hair pressure at the minute, because my hair is actually falling out. There is certain amounts of pressure that we face in our daily lives. And in the Bible, it's no different. Everybody in the scripture faced pressures. Noah, like, the world was going to end, and God was like, Noah, build a boat. And he was like, what is a boat and what is rain? Because they hadn't experienced those things. Abraham had pressure. He wanted a son. Moses had pressure. He had to lead the children of Israel. Joshua had to then lead them in to the promised land. There was David. He faced Goliath. That was pressure. Daniel, he faced pressure. He was in a different land, serving a different king, trying to uphold his values as a believer. Ezra, Nehemiah had to rebuild the walls. Jesus' disciples, these men all faced pressures. Even Paul, one of the greatest authors in the Bible, he faced pressure because he prayed for the churches on a daily basis. And today in our world, it's virtually impossible to avoid pressure. We all face it in one way or another. We're all carrying it in varying degrees. Yes, okay, I was watching football and that was a little bit of pressure, but realistically, like, nobody died. So, like, it's not really that big of a pressure. And if Man United lost, they're rubbish this season anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Of course, if you have exam pressure, maybe you want to go in and do a course and you have to pass these exams, that's a different amount of pressure. Or if you have some sort of illness which can take your life, then that is another form of pressure and another level of pressure. In our world today, lots of people want to try and help us. They say, oh, go to this doctor, see a therapist, go do time management courses, go to a massage bar, go to the gym. Burn off a few calories. Everybody tries to find a way to cope with this pressure. And everybody talks about returning to a simpler way of life. But no one really knows how to get to that point. And you know, the Bible is amazing because it teaches us even how we're feeling today. It tells us about this in the scriptures. You know, if you're feeling the pressure, the way I feel pressure is I get like a tightness in my stomach. Some people get a tightness in their back. Some people like come out in cold sweats or whatever that may be. But for me, it's like this yicking in my stomach. But it says in Job 30 and verse 27, my bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction prevented me. In other words, you know, your stomach's churning. You're facing this pressure. So the Bible has the answers. But let's read the scriptures. Let's read the scriptures together and see how we can cope with this pressure. First of all, turn to Luke 6, please. Luke 6. Luke 6 in the New Testament, if you have a Bible with you. And we'll read from verse 48. Verse 48. And it says there in Luke 6, verse 48, he is like a man which built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So, there's a man who builds a house, and he puts it on a good foundation, and it survives, and then there's a man who builds a house and puts it on a weak foundation, and it falls. Then it also turned into to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and the verse 28. Matthew 11 and the verse 28. And it says there in God's word, come unto me all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is saying, come unto me and I will help you. Because many of us are facing burdens today. And we feel that sometimes we don't know how to cope with this pressure. From the verses we read and from what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to hopefully show you how to cope with that pressure. It's like whenever you do the Duke of Edinburgh. Now, I haven't done the Duke of Edinburgh because I can't walk on mountains. That's like beside the point, right? But you know when you do like a camping thing and you put like your bag on and then you walk for like a couple of miles and the bag's really heavy, but then you get used to it. And then when you come to your destination and you take your bag off, you're like, oh my goodness, that bag was really heavy. Sometimes we're under so much pressure that we just become accustomed to it. And sometimes we don't even know that it's there, but it's actually burdening us, and it's keeping us awake at night. It's allowing us to take our sleep away from us when we need sleep the most. Or it presses us from all sides. Maybe you're getting pressure from school or from your family or from both sides. But what Jesus is saying is that you need to come to me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. If you come to Jesus, that's where he will help you to learn to cope with this pressure. You see, the words of the scriptures there in Matthew 11 have touched many. They're like, yeah, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yeah, come to Jesus. But people sometimes just say it, but they don't truly believe it. And maybe you're saying tonight, well, I know all this, but maybe you're not really applying it to your lives. See, the first thing you need to do to learn how to cope with pressure is you need to come to Jesus. That is the first thing that you need. Because if you want to be free from the pressures of life and worry, well, Jesus will help with that. If you're not saved tonight, well, then you don't have the glory of God in your life. You need to be saved. Once you're saved, once you've realized that you're a sinner, you're destined for hell. And the only way that you can get rid of that sin is by coming to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and give his life for you so that you can ask forgiveness of him. Well, once he comes into your life, he will give you rest. It's only when you come to Jesus that you will have rest, and then he will give you the help that you need to cope with pressure. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. That's fine in Ecclesiastes 6 and 7, or the earthy book as I call it, because it's got a lot of life lessons about how we should live. But what this is saying is man runs about and he works and he wants more and more, but yet he's not satisfied. I know two girls, that one of them cuts my hair. Really, really nice people. And they've got their own businesses, and they're doing very well for themselves. Like, it's almost as if they're loaded. They are. Okay, as we say, doing very well for themselves. And they, as far as I know, her and her sister, not saved. And they said to me one time, they were like, oh, yeah, not going to be able to cut your hair anymore because I'm going to Australia. And I was like, nice one. And before they went to Australia, they went to Thailand. And they lived in Thailand for like 2 months, and then they went to Australia for like 2 weeks, and then went, nah, I don't like Australia, and then went back to Thailand for a month, and then came home. And then a couple of months later, they were like, yeah, we're going to buy a house in Belfast. Because they live not in Belfast. They decided to buy a house. Bought a house in Belfast. It was brilliant. Amazing. Loving it. And then they were like, you know what? This is not so good. We're going to move to London. And they moved to London. And they lived there for 6 months. And then they went, no, it's too expensive. And then they moved home. And they did all this in a period of like 2 years. Right? And I can see this. They're looking for something in life. And they can't find it. They're going to all these places and they're running business and doing very well things, but yet they're not satisfied. And it's because they don't have Jesus in their life. Whenever they face pressures, they panic and they feel that they need to change direction. You see, if you don't have Jesus in your life, well then you have no real purpose in your life. You have no real reason for existing, because life can be very meaningless, because God created us for one reason, young people, and that is to worship him. That is to worship him. Even as Christians, we still worry about what's going to happen in the future. Yes, we know that if we're saved, we're going to heaven, and that's good. But before we get there, we worry about what's going to happen in between those times. Even as Christians. and they don't really know what's going to happen. And the point I'm trying to make here is sometimes people are not satisfied. It's because they don't have Jesus. Or they face pressures and they don't know who to turn to because they don't have Jesus. Because the one thing I'm going to tell you today, young people, is it doesn't matter what you do in your life. You're going to have pressures. I don't have a simple remedy and just like, you take this bottle and all the worries and the pressures will just remove themselves. You will face tribulations. They will be unavoidable. It's like the man who built the house. He built this house on a foundation. And he digged it deep and hit the foundation of the rock. And he built this house. But yet, the flood still came. The pressure still came. Yes, he was facing this thing, this difficulty. But yet, because he had a good foundation, because his house was built on a good foundation, well, then he could face that pressure. And that's what I'm trying to say. If your life is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, you can face any pressure in your life. But it first must be focused on Jesus Christ. If you're not saved tonight, well, you really are on your own. Because you can't turn to Jesus, because you haven't asked him for forgiveness. If you cry out as a sinner and ask, Lord, redeem me, then Jesus comes into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in and rests within you, and then he can guide you and he can help you. But young people, you need to build your life on the foundation of God, of Jesus. And then you can begin to be able to cope with pressure. It says in Romans 12, and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, once you've given your life to God, are you fully committed to God? Are you fully committed to him? Do you have a foundation in him? Are you living with him every day? Are you praying every day? Do you read your Bible every day? I know that sometimes I struggle with that, getting time sometimes to read the scriptures. And I struggle with that. But I can pretty much guarantee that I will always talk to God at some point in the day. Whereas if we can talk to everybody else, it's quite easy to talk to God. And it's important to build that up and to build that foundation. Because when the storms of life come, you'll only fret and worry and walk about with an ache in your stomach. But once you have God in your life, once the storms of life come at you, once you have God in your life, well then you can face them with him. And when the pressures come, then you can face those things with him. Because sometimes when the pressures come, God sends them to make us better. Sometimes when the pressures come, people harden their hearts. And they say, God, why are you doing this? And they say, God, why are you doing this? But what you should be saying is, God, why are you doing this? What are you trying to teach me here? Because sometimes God sends those pressures in your life to refine you, to make you better. I know in my own walk as a Christian, the closest times that I've walked with God are the times that I have faced the most difficulty in my life. I work in a university. I studied for like a million years, so I've done it all, okay? Any exam that you could do, I've done it. Or any sort of thing that you want to do educationally, I've done it. So I've been there. And I can truly say that whenever I've been doing examinations or writing or whatever it may be, and I'm under a severe amount of pressure, and the fact is that sometimes in my chest it feels like it's about to explode because you're under so much pressure. I remember that in the last year of at university, I was under so much pressure that it was within me, and my heart was like a stone. And David talks about that in the Bible, in the Psalms, about your heart being a stone. I was under a lot of pressure. Yet that was the time when I was most closest with God, because I was saying, God, help me face this today. Not tomorrow and what's happening next week, just get me through today. Help me through today. Because sometimes, young people, you can either have fear or you can have faith. Fear or faith. But it says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, when pressures of life come, as a believer, once you have that foundation in Jesus Christ, you can face pretty much anything. with him. You'll either have fear or you'll have faith. If you have faith in God, well then, you won't have fear because you'll be resting in God and you'll be saying, God, take control of this situation. Help me through this scenario, this problem that I'm having. Because all fear and worry stems from the lack of faith in God. Sometimes we worry about the silliest things. Sometimes worldly ambition can be rooted in fear because we're overlooked of being a failure if we don't make it, if we don't go to university, or if we don't get that job that we wanted. Or many relationships are based on the fear of being alone, or vanity is based on the fear of being unattractive or unloved, or greed is based on the fear of poverty. Or even anger or rage are based on the fear that there is no justice, no escape, no hope. All these things come from fear, and from these things come pressure. I know what I'm old now. 33, so old for you guys, but in the general consensus of the world, I'm actually still quite young. But I remember what it was like to be like 13 and 14, and you know, going to places and trying to like fit in, and you didn't know like, and that brought a certain amount of pressure, okay, to me. But those things sometimes are not important. What is important is what you're doing for God. Because all these fears, if you don't have faith in God and you have this fear, you're not truly trusting in Him. When the pressures of life come, you're saying, yeah, I'm just going to really trust in God. But sometimes you still try and do it yourself. You still try and do that thing yourself. And at the end of the day, sometimes we worry about the things that we shouldn't worry about. Because we can't worry about everything. You know what I mean? Sometimes we worry about stuff, and we're worried about stuff, and there's pressures about things that we can't control. It's like exams, you know, you're stressed now because you either have left your revision too long, and we'll come to that. I'm going to cover that point, okay? But you've left it too long, and you're under pressure, or maybe you're going like, oh my goodness, there's three questions in this exam paper, and I can only revise this stuff, and I don't know if this is the right thing to do, and you know what I mean? I know what it's like, because you know when you're doing GCSEs and you're going to be covering like meanders or you're going to be covering like grass, right? And you're like, which one should I pick? Meanders or grass, right? And you're really like stressed about it and it brings pressure. And this happened to me whenever I was doing my exams. And I ended up studying for one thing. And as soon as I opened the paper, I had studied for the wrong thing. But yet the Lord still brought to my memory the things that I needed, and I still was able to answer the question. So God is still in control. In other words, we can worry about all the worldly things, young people, and with that brings pressures. But really all you should be doing is focusing on Jesus in your life. Because it says in Luke 10, it's the story of Martha and Mary and when Jesus comes for tea, right? It doesn't say that in the Bible, but basically that's what he was doing, right? I like to break things down and make it just how it is. And Jesus was coming for tea. And Martha was running about crazy because Jesus was for tea. And you're not helping me, Mary. And all Mary was doing was sitting listening to the Lord. But Jesus himself said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Many things about food and all the pressures of life and what you're doing. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, yes, Martha, you're worried about the worldly things, all the pressure about life's pressures, but Mary is focused on me, and that's where you should be. Jesus was saying to each and every one of us, you're worried and upset and under pressure about many things, but only one thing is needed, that you have your faith in God. Isn't it wonderful that we can face anything in our lives when we have God on our side? You know, prayer and reading your Bible is so, so important because that can actually give you understanding and it can actually help you to calm down and to help you to relax because God is a comfort. God is a comfort. And he even says in Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow will take thought of things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, we should just be worried about what's happening tomorrow. Not be worrying about what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time, or 2 years' time, or 4 years' time. God knows all about it. Because you see, we're blessed with a powerful tool, his living word, the Bible. If used properly, it's a spiritual sword. It can help us to build up that faith and to face the fear and then the pressures of life. Because it says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, you know, the world will try and offer you many things. But really, if you want to deal with pressure in your life, you have to trust in Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes you might be a weak vessel. You might feel that you can't face life's troubles. And you feel that you're not going to make it, or and the life's pressures is too difficult for you. But that's not what God says. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He will help you in your hour of need. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, God can use the weak vessel, those of us that are under pressure, to refine us and to help us to face the world today. I don't know many of you now because I am too old, but I'm assuming that a lot of you will are around that age where you're sort of doing like GCSEs and A-levels and then going to university. And that whole period of your life is really, you feel under pressure because you're trying to do your GCSEs and that's like you're doing 10 subjects at the one time and then you're maybe like trying to learn to drive. And then you're maybe like trying to like, you know, just like get a job. And you're trying to manage like going to school, having a job, learning to drive. Then you're like trying to like fit in with people. You're trying to make new friendships because you're starting to go to things that are new, like a scooter, and you're trying to meet new people and you want to be like the coolest person there, but you're too scared to be because there's other cool people there and you're trying to fit in. And that with itself brings a little bit of pressure. And you just, you know, and all these things culminate in pressure. But you shouldn't worry, because these things are normal. But if you ask God for help, he will help you in your life, and he will help you to cope with these pressures. And I'm going to give you some tools on how to do that in a minute, but one last thing I just want to talk about is that even when you're under pressure, okay, and this one sounds really weird, but I have experienced this in my life. Stupid fly. Anyway, just ignore him. This is a really weird one, but whenever you're under pressure, okay, the one thing that you should do is that you should praise the Lord. Even in times when you're under pressure, you should be praising the Lord. The best way to counteract pressure in those times is to praise God and thank him for his countless blessings in your lives. The old adage, count your blessings, really is true. In spite of everything, there are so many blessings woven throughout our lives that many of us do not even have eyes to see them. Okay? So even if you're under pressure, maybe it's exams, maybe it's something that's got, I don't know, okay? But let's face it, you've made it to the shooter, so that means you've been able to get here. You're probably not hungry because you're probably at tea, but you knew that there's going to be something after the shooter, so you will be fed, and everybody's wearing clothes here. Okay, and at the end of the day, the Lord says, as long as we have clothes and food, we should be thankful. Okay, it's like I used to say in my young days, Dad, don't worry about it, nobody died. You know, when you're under pressure and you think like something really, really bad's going to happen, if you have those simple things, you have to thank the Lord. And as you pray, as young people, you shouldn't just pray and go like, Dear Lord, really help me with this situation, I'm really stressed with exams, I don't know what to do. That's not really the right way to pray. And I'm not an expert in this, but it's what it says in the Bible is that you should be thankful first. So you should thank God for what he's done for you that day and then bring your wants and petitions to him. Because even if your situation seems hopeless, God is still worthy of your praise. And you say to me, well, why? Well, let's look at the Bible, because that's where all the answers are. We think of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, I love the story of Paul and Silas. It's brilliant. These two guys, they're preachers. Then they get arrested, and they get put in prison. And, you know, they've been flogged, attacked by a huge crowd of people, fearing for their lives, you know, probably nearly dead. Then they're put inside a prison, and then they're brought, like, inside the prison, and then they're put, like, in stocks. So, like, they're going nowhere. And pretty much the only place that they were going to go after this place was they were going to probably be killed. And what does Paul and Silas do? They praise the Lord. And I just look at that and go, what? But they praise the Lord for their situation. And they start to sing and praise the Lord and be thankful for what He has done for them. And then something amazing happens. We all know the story. The earthquake comes. The doors fly open. Everybody's chains are loosed. The jailer springs in. How can I be saved? He gets saved. Paul and Silas are taken. Their wounds are bathed and they're taken to the jailer's house. And everybody believes. God turns that horrendous situation into something good. Not only is Paul and Silas saved, and not only are they tended for, but they're actually, a man is saved in that terrible situation. You see, we must get our mind off ourselves and the problems we face and onto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is how we face the pressure. We focus on God first, and God will take care of all the other stuff that we think is really important, but really, it's probably not. One of life's miracles is a life that is transformed by God. That is what God wants us to do, to be thankful to Him, to worship Him, to honor Him, to be thankful to Him in all that we do. Because what does it say in Psalms 103, verse 1? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Forget not His benefits. Who forgiveth thy iniquities, so He saves us, He redeems us. Who healeth all of my diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, so He saves us and then keeps us out of hell. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy soul with good things. In other words, you're satisfied so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle, so you're strong and you're young. Even though you're young, you might think that, how can I be young? I'm young, and how can I face these perils as somebody with experience? But whenever you've God on your side, you can soar like the eagle. You're renewed like the eagle. But you shouldn't forget His benefits, the things that He gives you. And whenever you face these pressures, you have to get your eyes on God and ask Him to help you. Now, I'm going to leave you with an acronym, okay? Because I love acronyms, right? Because they're like a word, and you use the letters to make like other words. And then you know how acronyms work, right? But this acronym is a little bit weird. So you're like talking about pressure. So you're like, maybe he's going to use the word pressure. But I tried to do that, but it was too long, okay? And then I was thinking about this last point about praising, okay? And I got the word praise, okay? So whenever you think about, whenever you're under pressure in life, you think of the word praise. The first thing you need to do is P, and that is pray. The letter P, which is to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you're facing pressures in life, the first thing that you do is you pray about it. Maybe it's some family issue, or maybe it's some illness, or maybe it's a school thing, or you don't know what to do with your life. Like, should I do this, or should I do that, where should I go? Pray about it first. You pray about it first. And then, or, you read your Bible. This seems real obvious, and you're like, yeah, kind of, like, whatever. But truly, if you pray and then read your Bible, that's like how God communicates with you. Because, you know, it's not going to be like a Paul on the road to Damascus, and you're going to ask God and just wait there, and he's just going down in 3 days. I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but more likely it's going to be through his word, his living word. So you need to read your Bible, because what does it say in Psalm 119, verse 105? Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. In other words, if you read your Bible, God will direct you. Then A, okay, praise, P-R-A. A is ask for help. Okay? And whenever you're feeling pressured, okay, in your life, and maybe it's something really specific, okay, what you do is you don't go, God, what should I do with my life? Or, you know, what GCSE should I do? Be specific. God, should I do technology or geography or history? Be specific with God. Sometimes young people, really, they just pray for something generally. And then something happens, and it's not really like what they wanted to happen, but it still kind of is all good, but it's not how you imagined it. But sometimes it's not because you're being specific with God. Be specific with God. You can be specific with God, and God will listen. And you ask for help. If you're under pressure, if you've got that feeling in your gut, and you're saying, how do I face this? You ask for help. It's like whenever I was doing my examinations for my GCSEs, which is like a million years ago now, but I remember specifically every exam I used to be really nervous. And I was really, really nervous every time I did the examination because I really wanted to do certain things later in my life. And I wanted to go to college so I could go to university and whatever. And it was really weird. I remember like saying to God, please God, help me in this exam. And during the exam, I used to be doing, answering the questions. And for whatever reason, I would think of a hymn. And a hymn would come into my head. And I would be singing the hymn. It's very strange, but I remember specifically this happened nearly in every examination. And it would be a hymn, and it would be like, Jesus loves me, plus four, take away two. Da, da, da. And I would be like singing this hymn. And I said to my mum one time, I was like, Mum, why is this happening? She was like, that's God like helping you through it. And he's just like calming you down. And you're just like, and I used to like, every exam I would be like singing this hymn. And it was just God giving me this peace. Because I had asked him for help, and he was then giving me the help right there in that place. Sometimes though, when you ask for help, God doesn't just answer you straight away. He makes you go through the mill, as it were. Every time I start a new job, I'm extremely nervous. I hate that first 6 months because you don't know where the toilet is, you don't know who the people are, you're really scared of doing something wrong. You're like, am I going to be the first person that gets sacked within a month? I used to could be really, really nervous. But what God was doing was he was teaching me to rely on him. And sometimes God will make you feel the pressure for a long time. Maybe it could be for weeks or for a few months, or it could be for a year, a period in your life where you feel under pressure. But what God is doing, and we referred to this before, is that he's just refining you. He's helping you to get through those issues. As well, not only ask God for help, but ask your friends, other believers. If you're under pressure, if you're struggling with something, ask your friends. It says in the Bible in Galatians 6:6, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love. If you love one another, you'll bear each other's burdens. You can say to somebody, can you pray for me? I'm facing this difficulty. I feel really under pressure. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? And it's important to ask for help. So we've got P-R-A. We've now got I for prayers. Invest. So whenever you're praying, and whenever you're reading your Bible, and whenever you're asking for help, you need to invest in time with God. You do all those three things. You can kind of do them at one time. And that can be known as your quiet time. But generally during times of high pressure, and this is a piece of advice, during high pressure, if you're overwhelmed by external time pressures and don't know how to manage your stress or pressure, you need to develop some basic skills, okay, to manage your time. But one thing that you can do is meet with God, invest in that time, and meet with God in the morning and in the evening. See, when you're under high pressure, meet with God in the morning and in the evening. You should probably do that anyway, but I know it's difficult. Life is busy, okay? But during those times of high pressure, meet with God in the morning and the evening. And it can just be like, Lord, help me through this day, and at the end of the day, God, this is what happened, and thank you for your help. And sometimes you think that you're going to do something in that day, and you end up doing something completely different. But maybe God had different plans for you that day, and he wanted you to do something different. Because it says in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, thy soul thirsteth for thee. So, meaning God in the morning. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. When you're in times of difficulty, meet him in the morning. But also in the verse 6 of the same chapter, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. In other words, meet God in the morning and the evening. See, when you're under high pressure, do that. It will sustain you and will help you, because you'll start with God at the start of the day and you'll end with God at the end of the day. S. Praise, right? S. Worship. We talked about this already. You should always worship the Lord and thank him for even your difficulties, even the things that are difficult for you to manage. He will help you through them, and you should worship him for those things. I remember whenever I was whenever I was studying it, and the last thing that I did, which was like a PhD thing, and it was really, really difficult. And basically, for 2 years of my life, I was under like severe pressure, like a lot of pressure, because I'm not like the smartest guy, so I had to like work really, really hard. And then I felt that I didn't make it up to the mark all the time, and I was like really pushing myself to like the next level, and I really had to dig deep. And I also was getting married, and I didn't have anywhere to live. And my wife was like, we don't have anywhere to live. And I was like, yeah, but I'm doing a PhD, so you may sort that out yourself. And basically, like, we got married. I turned 30, got married, finished my PhD in the space of, like, 8 weeks, okay? Real high-pressure situation. And I remember specifically meeting with God every day and saying, like, God, just get me through this day, and please find us a house, somewhere to live. And also, we need money. Can you help us with that as well? And it was a time of high pressure. But I can see that the Lord was with us, and He was guiding us in our lives. And He took us to a place where we didn't think we would end up to live, and we loved it there. And then He took us back to Ballinch, where we live now, and we love it even more. But now we can see, now that we've been through like this whole path, we can see why we went to places that we did. This is how God works. So whenever you get older and you sort of look back in your life, and you go, whoa, look, I've navigated all these issues, all these pressures, because I faced them with God. So P is for praying, R is for reading your Bible, A is for asking for help, I is for investing your time, doing all those investing time with God, S is for singing or worshipping, and E then is more of an earthly thing, and that is examining your load. Okay? Examining your load. As young people, we're very busy. We do a lot of things. We you know, have examinations, we have our social lives, we have our holidays, we have lots of things to do, lots of things we want to play football, we want to play hockey, you know, we have a lot of external things as well. But sometimes, and this is more from my job, I work in a university, I work with students, so I see how they manage their time badly, because they're just like, yeah, look, I've got like 12 weeks to do this. And then they're like, whoa, I need to get this done because it's week 11. So I know what you're like. Yeah? Sometimes you're not great at managing your time. It was just not the same. My wife, she was the lastminute.com. I always had things done a week before because I was a nerd, right? Because I didn't have a life, okay? But sometimes you need to examine your load, okay? So like if you're under high pressure, maybe it's an exam period and you're under high pressure, maybe you don't need to go to the gym 2 times a week. Maybe you just go 1 time. Or maybe you just, just don't do as many hours and work that week. You say, look, the money's good, but this is more important right now. And sometimes you just need to examine your load as a young person. Because sometimes, you know, if you're out every night of the week, and you're maybe studying and then you're out every night of the week, when are you going to get all that extra work done? Sometimes it's very difficult. And sometimes you just need to examine yourself and examine your load and say, okay, how am I managing my time? Because even if you're under pressure with exams and with all these things, or with work, for example, or whatever that may be, you know, God will help you through it. But from a human perspective, you still need to get it done. You know, if you set out to do something, God's not going to take the pen and help you to write it. Well, He will help you to write it, but He won't like take the pen and do it yourself. You still have to do the things humanly speaking. Or if you have a job to do in your work, you still have to do that thing. But you should ask God to help you to do those things. But sometimes you need to examine your load and say, okay, maybe at this point in time I'm under high pressure, I need to focus on a certain thing. And I had to do that as well. But this is a one piece of advice, and with this I'm going to finish. In my final year at university, I was real stressed. Remember I told you about that? My heart was like, and I used to like work all the time. I remember like from the period of like February to May, I just like didn't go out. Like I went to church and stuff, but I didn't go out, like socializing or anything. It was just like in my room, working on my computer, like a madman. And I remember like people going like, dude, where were you like for the last 6 months? And I was like, I know. And whenever May came, people hadn't seen me since like Christmas. But the thing was, I get so invested in those things, in my studying, that I took my eyes off the Lord a little bit. And saying to my name, what I used to do sometimes is if I was under high pressure, I used to work on a Sunday. I would work on a Sunday evening. Maybe not during the day, I'd go to church. But on a Sunday evening on the Lord's Day, I would do some work. Because it was like, oh, I need to get this done. And at the time, I didn't really think very much of it. But it wasn't until the end of that year that I really started thinking, you know, all those hours that I could have been in a meeting, or, you know, I could have been at a youth rally or somewhere extra, and I was too busy focusing on the worldly things, like my education, which is important, but I was not focusing on God. And in my degree, I got like a 2-1, which is like a second place, okay? You're maybe not there yet, but that's like a second place, right? It's still really good, right? If you get a 2-1 in your degree, you're awesome, right? But I got like a 2-1. But I firmly believe in my heart, if I hadn't have taken the time of the Lord, that he would have given me an even better grade. But I feel that he was teaching me a lesson and saying, look, your work was worthy of this, but you actually took my time and put it in yourself. Because I was so worried about the pressures of life, and I was trying to sort it out myself. So I was like, I need to use this time to get this done. But really what I should have been doing was investing the time with God. And what I'm saying is, you should never, even if things are high pressure, you should never not be going to church or going to meetings. Always make time to do that there. Because you need that time. And I believe that that happened to me for a reason. Now, everything still worked out okay because God is good and God is great. And I was able to still do the things that I wanted to do. But he taught me a lesson there. Because I focused, trying to do things myself. I was under so much pressure that I was trying to do it myself rather than focusing on God and asking for his help. Because there was a guy who was also a believer in my year, and he was like, I just don't work on Sunday. And he did better. And that we talked about it afterwards, and I was like, you know what? That was a bad decision that I made. And this is just one of the lessons I want to leave with you. You know, never take your eyes off the Lord. Always focus on him. And whenever you have pressure in your life, please don't worry, because it says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of righteousness. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Whenever you're facing pressures, whenever you don't know how to cope with pressure, turn to God and ask him for your help that you need so that you can face those pressures. Tribulations in life will come, young people. And you might think it just happens when you're young. See, when you get old, tribulations come as well. Tribulations come when you're older, and they'll always be there. Sometimes God uses them to refine us. Sometimes God uses them to show us a different direction. I don't know the mind of God, but tribulations will come. You will have pressures. But if you face them with God, then you face them with a friend, and he will get you through those pressures and allow you to cope with those things.